Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Courage. Today is December 2nd, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Tariff Man is Back. A few stories we're going to touch on today. Tariffs on Brazilian and Argentine aluminum and steel are back in effect. We have Donald J. Trump attacking the Federal Reserve, once again, calling once again for a weaker dollar. The president is now over in London for a informal NATO gathering, and it appears from some sources, we'll see if this pans out or not, but Prime Minister Boris Johnson of the UK, who is up for re-election, remember we have the UK general election up in 10 days, December 12th, 12-12, remember it. He allegedly does not want to be seen getting all chummy and buddy-buddy with Donald J. Trump. He doesn't want those optics before the election. Now, that's reports. We'll find out if that's true or not. But that's interesting if that happens to be the case, because those two guys are supposed to be, you know, Bonnie and Clyde. They're supposed to be joined at the hip. It'll be interesting to see if Prime Minister Boris Johnson does, in fact, want to distance himself from President Trump. We have the Chinese retaliating, as they said they would, in regards to the United States passing legislation and Donald J. Trump signing it into law in regards to the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. China is retaliating. They are not allowing the United States Navy to enter the Hong Kong harbor for a little R&R, rest and relaxation. They are also banning or restricting some United States NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and they are threatening more. Now, this is not really a huge counter from the Chinese. As far as I'm concerned, I think China is concerned with what's taking place internally. I think they are concerned with their economy slowing down, and nobody knows better than the fraud and corruption that exists within that government than those within the Chinese Communist Party themselves. So they're trying to dance a fine line here, trying to appease probably to some extent the United States and Donald Trump in this trade war. I think they want to continue with this trade narrative. I don't think they really care if there's a deal or not. I just don't think they want their economy plummeting into recession or to any type of major slowdown. Well, too bad. Whether or not there's a trade war on the table or not, it makes no difference. Their economy was going to start stumbling sooner rather than later, and we are in the midst of that. Same case here in the United States. The trade war just exacerbates all of these problems. It just compounds what we're already dealing with. This is the business cycle, folks. Again, do not put too much emphasis on these leaders, on these strongmen, no matter how loud they are, no matter how charismatic they are, no matter how loudly they bang the table or thump their chests, it doesn't matter. The economy is bigger and greater than any one of us, as it's supposed to be. However, when you have these same strongmen and some of these institutions, particularly the Federal Reserve and other central banks, pretending to be these strong characters, they're not. They are some of the weakest people you'll ever come across. You have to somewhat take them at their word, and you have to hold them accountable. So even though the economy is greater than all of us, and greater than them as well, they want to take the reins, they want to take responsibility, so guess what? We have to hold them responsible when this house of cards, when this big charade comes tumbling down. So we'll see what China does. Again, so much of what is taking place geopolitically is focused on this trade deal, or this geopolitical contest right now between the United States and China. We talk about these interconnections here all the time, and we're going to continue to do so because it's very important. We have the Democrats preparing for testimony in the House Judiciary Committee this week. We'll talk about that. And another great statistic, we have U.S. corporate debt nearing the $10 trillion mark. You heard me correctly, $10 trillion in U.S. corporate debt. This is right near 50% of U.S. GDP. It has not been this high in decades. In fact, it might never have been this high. I've only gone back a few decades, but maybe at some point it was higher than this, but we have not seen it in a generation. So not good, folks. Not good at all. And this is just non-financial. So if you throw in the banks, and this doesn't include small businesses either, and there's a report out there by Forbes that's stating that if you take into consideration non-publicly traded companies, so a lot of small businesses, mom-and-pop shops, and that type of stuff, you're talking closer to about $15 trillion, which would equate to about 74% of U.S. GDP. So what could possibly go wrong? Because the piper never once paid. We'll just continue to kick this can further and further down the road. On the home front, we have some further economic news here in the United States. U.S. factory activity shrinks more than expected. The ISM manufacturing PMI in the U.S. edged down to 48.1 in November from 48.3 in October and well below market expectations of 49.2. So even market expectations, while higher, were still in contraction. They were below 50 at 49.2. Again, our reading is 48.1. The reading pointed to the fourth straight month of contraction in factory activity amid a steeper fall in new orders and employment. The survey also showed that global trade remains the biggest concern across industries. So here you have it, folks. This is, again, a leading indicator, one that, in my opinion, holds water, something we have to pay attention to. And what are you looking at when you're really focusing on leading economic indicators? New orders and employment. And we have, again, a steeper fall in new orders and employment. That is not boding well for the next months and quarters ahead. And this is the fourth straight monthly contraction. So this is not a trend. This is a trend. This is not a one-off. This, like I always say here, 1 month, 2 months, that's not a trend. You have to wait for 3 months, sometimes even four, depending on the data series. We have four consecutive months of contraction at the ISM manufacturing PMI. This is not good. There is no way that the president or anybody else in the administration can spin this as a positive for the United States of America. You cannot have the manufacturing base in this country basically in contraction, in its own mini recession right now, with no signs of abating, because again, you have new orders and employment falling, leading indicators telling you that they're going to go lower, most likely, and say that this is the greatest economy ever in the history of the United States. You cannot have it both ways. So that's that on that front. And again, we went through a lot of the PMI data that came out yesterday, global PMIs. And again, the picture was stagnation or further deterioration. There was a couple one-offs where it was still in expansion, but even those in expansion were at a lesser rate. This is not just because of a trade war. This is not just because the United States is no longer selling as many soybeans and pork bellies to China. I hope you finally understand this. So what happened today in the stock market? Well, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down almost 1%. Same thing with the S&P 500. The NASDAQ 100 was down 1.25%. The Russell 2000 was also down 1% for the day. Right now, as I'm doing this podcast, we have the Japanese market down 0.6%, and a continuing sell-off across the European markets, with the UK down 1%. German and French markets were also down 2%, and the Italian and the Spanish markets were down 2.25% each. So not too good, folks. Of course, these markets have been rallying. We have been witnessing here somewhat of a melt-up. This, again, on the backs of the Federal Reserve and other central banks, but particularly the Federal Reserve coming to the quote-unquote rescue once again, $60 billion a month in quantitative easing, although we're not supposed to call it quantitative easing, hundreds of billions of dollars overnight or on a daily basis when it comes to the repo markets. I mean, how much more do you need to understand that this is a fraud, that this is a criminal organization that is at the helm, with the Federal Reserve and President Donald J. Trump at the helm as Thunder Thumbs on his Twitter account, telling the Federal Reserve to do exactly that. Cut interest rates even lower. Embark on another round of quantitative easing. Get us negative interest rates. I want that money. Give me that money. It's your money. That's who he wants. That's what it's taken. That's where it comes from, folks. I hope you understand this. It's where it's coming from. It's coming from your bank account. It's coming from your retirement. It's coming from your insurance. It's coming from your annuities. It's coming from your insurance companies who try to invest and make money in the bond market so they can pay out claims. No, Donald J. Trump wants it. So if you're fine with that, then I guess you're going to vote for him again. I mean, all of this other stuff I've told you on numerous occasions, and that's what this whole podcast is about. You want to focus on all of these little ancillary things, and some of them are big. Don't get me wrong. Some of these branches are big issues, and that's why they attract so much attention from people. But you're not striking at the root. I'm striking at the root, the Federal Reserve and the federal income tax. Otherwise, you're not going to solve a damn thing. You're just going to be wiping out branches, and guess what? Another one's going to pop up somewhere else because you're not striking at the root of the problem. That's what you have to get rid of first. And until and unless you understand this, then you're just going to continue to fall for the propaganda that comes out of Donald J. Trump's mouth. You're going to continue to fall for the propaganda that comes out of any Democrat or any other Republican for that matter. And you're just going to continue to be played like a fool, which is exactly what the system wants you to be, in this divide and conquer scheme. That's all it is. And it's getting worse and worse. So they're going to end up getting away with more and more, which is exactly what they are getting away with. Why? Because everybody is so divisive. Everybody is so siloed into the respective corner. Everybody is so caught up in all of the political mumbo jumbo that they're not paying attention to the economy. That they're not paying attention to what the Federal Reserve and other central banks are doing. It's criminal, by the way. There's no other word for it. It's criminal. These people need to be held to account. People don't even know who they are. So good luck with that. But as long as they know the basketball score and the football score, everything's A-okay. And we remain in the greatest economy ever in the history of the United States. Okay, I don't think so. So that's that. Those are some of the global markets. Commodity markets, oil regained some of its losses from yesterday, pretty much on the back of promising cuts from OPEC. Again, they're cutting because they understand that there is slower demand out there. That's exactly what we are going to be witnessing. It's exactly what we have been witnessing, except everything has been kept up by artificial means, by money printing, and anything else. Just a whole bunch of jive talking. President Trump saying there's going to be a deal, there's going to be a deal, sends out one of his lackeys, there's going to be a deal, short strokes, final laps, we're almost there, we're millimeters away. No, we're not even close. We're not even close. And again, we have mixed messages from Donald Trump today and a couple of his members within his administration. China wants to make a deal. And then, well, if China doesn't make a deal, Donald Trump will increase tariffs. Don't forget, folks, that's only a couple weeks away, too. December 15th is the deadline for Donald Trump to make good on his threat to increase tariffs if there is not a deal. And remember, this is not going to be any spectacular deal. This is a phase one deal. Of how many phases, we don't know. And what we somewhat understand as to what might transpire in a phase one trade deal would simply get us back to where we were 2 years ago. However, there's still going to be tariffs. The 2 years ago part just means, well, maybe they're going to continue. They, the Chinese, might consider buying the same amount of soybeans that they used to in the past, and pork bellies and some other agricultural products. Big whip-de-doo. I mean, are we going to get back? Are those farmers going to come back into business who have filed for bankruptcy and are gone? No, they're not going to come back. They're gone. So what did we accomplish from this trade war? I mean, there aren't too many things that economists agree on. One thing is, don't get involved in a trade war. Just don't do it, because it's tit for tat. You punch me, I punch you. You kick me, I kick you. You stab me, I stab you. You shoot me, I shoot you. It never stops. The only time it ever comes to an end is when both countries or all the players who are involved are in some sort of economic decay or some sort of major political strife, which is coming, by the way, in both countries, the United States and in China. We already see it with all these global protests. I'm telling you, it's not transitory, it's history. You better get this in your head. What I'm telling you, this is history in the making. It is coming to a theater near you very soon. Believe me when I tell you. These trade wars don't work until people are on their knees begging, and then both parties are going to be coming to the table from a position of weakness. Okay? Now, we didn't have to get involved in this trade war. There's other ways that we could have done this. Donald Trump didn't have to unilaterally go against the Chinese. The Chinese have a lot of problems. There's no question about it. Most of these problems that we face in the United States aren't China's fault. They're our fault. And that's the problem. That's why I don't like it. That's why I don't like this lack of leadership that exists all over the place. It's easier to point the finger and blame another country. It's easy to blame China. Oh, they stole all our stuff. Well, they didn't force Apple and Microsoft and every other company in this country to go over there. Okay? So there's it's a little wishy-washy on that argument. I don't like what China does. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to defend China. I don't like what they do. They're human rights violators. They're communists. I don't like them. Okay? Particularly their government. I don't like it. All right, I'm not here to defend China. I want the United States to succeed. But guess what? Donald Trump didn't have to go at them unilaterally. He could have built a consensus, and he probably would have gotten probably 60 to 70%, maybe more, of global GDP on his side to go after China in one form or another. Meaning you would have had China blocked in. They would have had nowhere to go. They would have been boxed in. Where are they going to go? Now they can say, okay, well, you want to come after us, Donald Trump and United States and company, that's fine. We'll go to Europe, or we'll go to Canada, or we'll go to Mexico, or we'll go to Russia, or Japan, or Australia, New Zealand, Argentina, South Africa, Brazil. See what I'm saying? Maybe if Donald Trump had built a consensus with all of those countries that I just rattled off, or a good portion of them, then China would say, oh my goodness, we can't continue doing the things that we're doing because we have nowhere else to go, because nobody else is going to buy our products. Now you could say, or nobody else is going to trade with us because everybody is teaming up on us. That's not what Donald Trump did. He went after them unilaterally. And one of the reasons why Donald Trump did this, and he says it himself, is because the European Union, which is one of the largest economies in the world as well, taken as a whole, he thinks they screw us over worse than China does. So if he thinks that China is the easier play and the art of the deal maker here doesn't have a deal after 2 years, what the hell is going to happen with the European Union? Because he has to go after them next. He has to. Because if they're worse than China, then he has to go after the European Union. Will he is a question. And when will he is another question, because we got less than 12 months until there's another presidential election, and he hasn't even signed, sealed, and delivered a deal with China. So is he even going to go after the European Union? We'll see what happens. It might be something that he does as a strongman character in his run-up to the 2020 presidential election, but we'll see. So we have Tariff Man back. He is placing tariffs again on Brazilian and Argentine aluminum and steel, because why not? You know, I was putting some thought into this today. I don't know if I'm giving Donald Trump too much credit or not, because one of the reasons that he justified doing this, and of course he took to Twitter, as Thunder Thumbs is apt to do, and he says, look, Brazil and Argentina are purposefully devaluing their currency, giving the United States a major disadvantage when it comes to trade. Well, folks, if you've been paying attention to this podcast, and I hope you have been, with respects to Argentina, the reason their currency is collapsing is because their economy is collapsing. You get it? They're going down, their currency goes down. That's how it works. Not because there's some sort of conspiracy going down there with them Argentines all getting together saying, well, how are we going to screw over the Americans and their manufacturing base? Oh, I know. I know, Jose. Let's devalue our peso. Let's do that, and then we'll really get it. That didn't happen. Their economy is collapsing. We talked about this a month and a half ago when the elections swung from a pro-business candidate to a socialist. When you have a major default on the horizon from Argentina, their government defaulting, as they do every few years, on a major loan from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. This is not because the Argentines are trying to screw over the U.S. manufacturing base. They don't stand a chance against the United States manufacturing base. Never. Not even close. So that argument falls flat on its face. With regards to Brazil, I thought those two, President Trump and President Bolsonaro, I thought they were buddy buddies too. I thought Donald Trump loved him. Isn't President Bolsonaro of Brazil, isn't he supposed to be the Trump of the South? I thought so. Apparently not. Apparently Donald Trump has some vendetta against him as well. And it's not as if the Brazilian economy is booming along either. But, what got me thinking was, well, you know what, maybe this is in some type of retaliation against these two countries, because these are two countries that China has brokered some recent deals with, especially in regards to agricultural products. So is Donald Trump trying to play sides here? Is he trying to punish those other countries who have struck deals with China? China wasn't making deals of this magnitude with either of these countries prior to the trade war, and they weren't because China was perfectly fine buying agricultural products from the United States. So, like I told you would happen, China would not just sit idly by waiting for Thunder Thumbs to strike a deal of some sort. They were going to go source these products from somewhere else, and that's exactly what they've done, and that's exactly what they continue to do. Well, a couple of those countries happen to be Brazil in Argentina. And lo and behold, we have Donald Trump placing tariffs on Brazilian and Argentine aluminum and steel. Now, am I giving Donald Trump too much credit for maybe doing that? Because the reasoning he's giving, again, is because their currencies, he claims, are being purposefully devalued, despite the fact that Argentina is basically headed for collapse. I can't make it up. That's what he said. It's in the written record. Thunder Thumbs himself, people. We have steel down 6% today. We have aluminum up 1%. We have U.S. steel trading up 4% today on the news, trading at $13.67. Don't forget, folks, it was only maybe a couple months ago or whatever it was. U.S. steel was about $10. So if you thought that was the bottom, you would have done quite well. Up about 30, almost 40% if you timed it really well. And we'll see what happens here over the course of the next couple weeks or months. We have no idea how long these tariffs are going to be on in effect. But I don't know what kind of message this sends to China or anybody else for that matter. Because if Donald Trump is just going to wake up willy-nilly one day, like he evidently did this morning, and said we're going to place tariffs on Brazil and in Argentina, then how is anybody ever going to really make a deal with this guy? How can they trust that he's not going to wake up and say, I'm done. No deal. I don't like it. No more. Slap tariffs on them. How can you make a deal with somebody who's this volatile? I just don't know how you're going to be able to do it. I don't know if the Chinese want a deal. I don't know if this whole thing is a game and we're all being played in some huge geopolitical conspiracy. But I really don't want to go down that road. But you can't make heads or tails of this. There's just no logic to it. It's chaotic. It's crazy. But that's where we are. That's where we are. The greatest economy ever. We have manufacturing in contraction. We have farmers, U.S. farmers, filing for bankruptcy at rates we have not seen in generations. They're being bailed out, some of them, those who are still around, to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars. We have trillion-dollar deficits, and we have a president who's calling for a weaker dollar. So that takes us to a good segue with Donald Trump again taking to Twitter and saying he doesn't like what the Federal Reserve's doing. It's not good enough. It wasn't enough. He wants interest rates lower, and he wants a weaker dollar. You know, I had a tweet, like I said, I'm apt to do when I hear these things from Thunder Thumbs, and I get upset, and it just causes a visceral response from me, and I am almost compelled to tweet back. And I did this afternoon in regards to this tweet, because he's talking about, you know, European countries and this, that, and the other having a competitive advantage against the United States because their central bank is smart and they have negative rates and they blah, blah, blah. And I just asked the simple question, how, you know, is this working good for German manufacturers? Germany is on the brink of recession. We have a continuation of a deterioration in the German auto sector, which is the engine of their economy, no pun intended. But you have more layoffs on the horizon across all of the major manufacturers and all of the ancillary suppliers, and not just suppliers that exist within Germany, but that exist within other major countries in the European Union, particularly within Italy, which is also, by the skin of their teeth, maybe technically avoiding a recession. And I think that's only for the time being, because we have yet to have any type of serious catalyst put these markets where they belong, which is down, big time. And the reason that we have yet to see this type of price discovery, which is what markets are all about, is because we have all of the massive intervention that we have at the helm of Federal Reserve, the ECB, and the Bank of Japan, and many other central banks around the world. They are acting in concert to keep this house of cards from crumbling, because that is its inevitable destination. It's just the facts of the matter, folks. I want it to happen sooner rather than later, because the sooner it happens, the quicker we can start to fix it. That's my opinion. Also, the further we kick this can down the road, the further it affects generations, younger generations and generations who have yet to exist. And they have nothing to do with this mess. The people who created this mess, who have perpetuated this mess, they should bear the brunt of this collapse. Not generations who have nothing to do with it. That is so immoral and unethical, it's not even funny. And as far as I'm concerned, it rises to a level of criminality that the world has never seen. But don't worry. Don't worry, we're just going to continue kicking the can further and further down the road. And everything will be okay. Just trust the people who continue to screw you over every single day. But don't worry about it. So I had to ask Thunder Thumbs, you really think the German manufacturers are appreciating their weaker euro? I mean, maybe it's making them better off than they otherwise would be, but they're in recession. They're heading for recession. They're continuing to deteriorate. That's where it's going. So you want to import that here? Is that my understanding? Because it's not just Germany. It's Italy. It's the UK. And there's still that headache with the whole Brexit mess. So where are you going? You want us to adopt that type of policy. We're almost there, by the way. We're almost there. We're told we're never going to be a socialist nation so long as Donald J. Trump is president of the United States. Too late. And then he wants to emulate the socialist government and policies of the ECB and European nations. If you can circle that square, you're smarter than me. So leave me comments and let me know how you justify that one. Let's see. What else do we have here? We have Democrats preparing for testimony in the House Judiciary Committee. These are going to be some legal scholars. Evidently, that's what I've come across anyway. We'll find out in a couple days when these individuals testify before the House Judiciary Committee. Legal scholars on how to proceed with impeachment. What's the history? What's the precedent? How do you go about doing it? What's being reported out there in the news is we supposedly have three people from the Democrats basically are going to come out and sort of support impeachment. And you're going to have one who is for the Republicans, for President Trump, saying, yes, there's impeachment and this is how you do it. But whatever we have thus far does not really rise to an impeachable offense. The optics of this, in my opinion, are not very good from the Democrat standpoint. I mean, why would you tilt the scale like this? All this does is gives President Trump and his team and the Republicans a leg to stand on when it comes to this whole process being unfair. If you have three and the Republicans and Trump have one, it doesn't get any simpler than this. I mean, this stuff isn't that complicated. I try to make logical arguments in my analysis, just going through the facts of the case. But guess what? People don't have time. They're not paying attention. They don't care. They're siloed in. They're siloed in. They don't like him. He's guilty. They voted for him. They love him. He can do no wrong. Okay? Same thing here. Why would... It just makes the argument so simple for the Republicans and Donald Trump to make. And he speaks at such a low level. It's to begin with, three is greater than one. This is unfair. They're picking on me, despite the fact that I had the opportunity to present myself or my legal counsel down there to ask questions of these witnesses. They refuse to do so, although there is another deadline at the end of this week for another round for the same thing. We'll see how the White House and Donald Trump respond to that deadline as to whether or not they will appear before the committee and ask questions. We will see. 3-1. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because they're stupid. Because they're careless. At least make it 2-2. 3-2, not 3-1. At least say it's somewhat close, because it's the optics, and that's what Donald Trump and company are running off of. They're not arguing the facts of the case because they can't, because the facts of the case are terrible against them. No Republican is coming out and defending Donald J. Trump on the facts. It's all, look over here at Ukraine and this debunked conspiracy theory. Maybe the Bidens did something wrong, and that's what we have to go after. Not meaning, you know, maybe both people are guilty of something. Maybe Donald Trump did something wrong, and maybe the Bidens. Did you ever think of that? Just because the Bidens are guilty doesn't mean Donald Trump's innocent or vice versa. They can both be guilty, and they could both be innocent. However, the facts of the matter is, as it stands today, Donald Trump did something he should not have done, and I think from what we know today, it does rise to an impeachable offense. The phone call, the transcript of the phone call, it's far from perfect, but I have been consistent from day one for my analysis. I still do not believe that that phone call in and of itself and the transcript release rises to an impeachable offense. But I said from the get-go, you have to do an investigation because there is no way that that was just some impromptu phone call. There was a backstory to it. And whoa, Nelly, was there. There was a backstory to it, and you have a whole bunch of people coming out and testifying, and a whole bunch of people who have or should have greater firsthand knowledge who have yet to testify because they are not being allowed to testify because Donald Trump won't allow it. So that's not looking good, okay? And in the midst of the whole thing, it's an impeachable offense. It really is. The question becomes, is it removable? Is it removable? And I think we have to go through more data, more fact-finding. There needs to be more testimony. I think these firsthand witnesses have to come forth. I think a lot of documents that reside within the White House, National Security Council, State Department, Defense Department, these things need to be released so we can come up with a fuller picture because this is a serious matter that is at hand. I don't take this lightly. I don't like the fact that we're in this situation. But Donald Trump put us in this situation. I didn't put us in this situation. You didn't. The Republicans didn't. And as many people want to claim that the Democrats put us in this situation, they didn't either. They didn't. Donald J. Trump put us in this situation by his actions. There was a whistleblower complaint. It was found to be credible and urgent by Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, who was appointed by Donald J. Trump himself. So what are you going to have at it? Okay? Then it's again, it's a lot of distraction and diversion. Don't argue the facts. Where's the whistleblower? What difference does it make where the whistleblower is? Everything that this individual said has proven to be the case. It's proven to be the case. So what's this person going to tell you? What they already said, which is already proven to be true? Again, it's a matter of distraction. They're not arguing the facts because they can't. They're not arguing the law because they can't. And that's an old adage I was told from a lawyer buddy of mine. When you can't argue the law, you pound the table. And that's exactly what we're getting from the Republicans and Donald J. Trump. A lot of pounding of the table, a lot of distraction. Pay attention to this. Don't pay attention to the facts. Don't pay attention to the law because they can't argue it. And I take no pleasure in saying this, but I don't have a dog in this hunt when it comes to Republicans or Democrats. My dogs are the truth and justice, and they should be for you as well. Of course, I know many of you listening, that's not true. You're already siloed in. You're an anti-Trumper, you're a never-Trumper, or you voted for him and your guy can do no wrong. But we'll see what happens. There's a lot to come. I think Donald Trump, I think it's an obligation of the President of the United States, when the country is as divisive as it is, if he has exculpatory evidence, it needs to be released. There cannot be a crazy show, circus trial. It can't come to that if you have exculpatory evidence. This country, everybody's at each other's throats. You know, I hope it didn't get nasty at people's Thanksgivings. It didn't in my family, thank God. But it could have. But it didn't. And that's a good thing. But I'm sure in many households over this country that there were some pretty heated debates and arguments when it comes to politics. And it's because we can't even agree to the facts. And that is really almost at the heart of the problem. There's a lot of issues, but that's one of the deepest ones, because if we can't even agree on the facts, then we're never going to get anywhere, because at least that would be the foundation, because that should be the foundation. We can't even agree to the facts, so we're never going to get anywhere. We're not. And when you're not going to get anywhere, you're going to end up going backwards, and that's exactly what's happening. And the president, it's incumbent upon him as a leader to step up to the plate, and if there's exculpatory evidence, to just release it and let this all be done with. If he doesn't have it, then there's a problem. If he doesn't have it, then there's a problem. And this is going to go to trial, and we'll see what the Republicans do, but that's a long way away. So tariff man is back. Tariffs on Brazilian and Argentine aluminum and steel. The trade war between the United States and China allegedly heating up. Donald Trump is attacking the Federal Reserve, calling for a weaker dollar. It's basically par for the course, people, but I'm sure you don't want a weaker dollar if you understand what it means, because the cost of living is going to go up even higher for you than what it already is. So if you're fine with that, then I guess you're going to be fine voting for him again in 2020. But don't tell you, but don't say I didn't warn you. Oh, what a crazy, crazy world this is, but I enjoy having you guys here. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, leave your comments. I do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Kuraitis. Godspeed.